What is sin?
Now, you would think that ought to be an easy question to answer. After all, it's a short word. It has three letters, S-I-N, in it. Obviously, it's got to be simple, right? No, sometimes the short letter words have the hardest definitions of all, and the big words are easy. Today, that's true. What is sin? Now, the New Testament was written in Greek, and the word that is translated into English as sin in Greek is the word amartia. There it is on the screen, amartia. That A has a little accent above it that tells you that you're supposed to give it a breathing sound. Hence, it actually sounds like an H, hamartia, hamartia. And it means literally to fall short or miss the mark. It comes from the ancient Greek practice of archery. And in archery, you'd take a bow and you would take an arrow. And the archer would take this arrow. I did take archery in Boy Scouts, by the way, and got my badge. And no, I didn't shoot my group leader. Anyway, they take the bow, and they'd sight. Actually, it's upside down. There we go. Take the bow, and they'd sight, and they'd let the arrow fly. And if the arrow doesn't even make it to the target, if the arrow falls in the ground between the archer and the target, or if the arrow goes to the right or to the left and hits the trees or the walls on either side of the target, if it doesn't hit the target, you have committed hamartia. If it falls between the archer and the target, you've really committed amartia. The objective is to not commit amartia, to pull back and let the arrow fly and hit that target in the middle. That's the objective, right? For me, it was to not hit an animal or a tree or my dad or somebody else. To let the arrow fly and hit the target is the objective. Hamartia is when you let the arrow fly and it doesn't even make it to the target, but instead lands in the ground between you and the target or hits something on either side of the target. I'm just going to put it back here where I had it. Safekeeping. Anyway. That's hamartia in the Greek language, and that is the word that the New Testament authors chose for the word that we think of as sin. To fall short of the target. To miss the mark. To not hit that target that God has for us to hit, to not even come close to hitting it, to fall short of it, is sin. Right there it is. That's sin. We're so often caught up in the talking about the sins that we, or more frequently others, commit. But those things, those misdeeds, those mistakes, those errors, those things that they've done, that we've done, many of them are very bad, but those things really are not sin. And except for how they demonstrate how we fail to hit the mark, how we fall short. We are sinners not because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We sin because we fall short of God's target for us. We go far to the right or far to the left and fail to hit the mark that God has for us to hit. Fail to even reach the target that God has for us to hit. Anything that causes you to veer to the right or veer to the left or go too high or shoot too low, anything that causes you to fall short of that target and not hit it is sin. And for some people, it may be one thing, and for others, it may be something else. Whatever causes you to fall short of reaching the glory of God that God has for you is a sin. And it might be as simple as my eating too many enchiladas last Sunday. Because I did. Followed up with a hot fudge sundae. I have a friend of mine. Her name is Ruth. I go on cruises with her a lot. She's a retired civil servant, and she lives up in Rhode Island. And when she watched my sermon on YouTube from last Sunday, she posted a remark there on Facebook, and she said, "Lord, deliver me from temptation, but not quite yet." That's her. One of her favorite sayings is, "If you can't say anything nice about somebody, then come over here and sit by me." I love Ruth. Ruth, I love you. You know it. Looking forward to cruising with you again someday. You know, we miss the mark of God's will for us so many times. And we usually don't even know we're doing it. We don't even know we've missed that mark. Or we think that what someone else has said about our missing a mark may have been true for them, but may not be true for me. You see, the problem with all sin, frankly, it's not other people. We aim on a blame it on other people. We're really good at passing the buck. We learned that from Adam and Eve. Remember? God asked Adam, "What did you do and why did you do it?" "Well, the woman you gave me the apple," or whatever it was. And God turns to her and says, "What have you done and why did you do it?" "Well, the serpent told me to do it." And then God looks at the serpent, and the serpent, I'm sure, is going, uh-oh. We're good at passing the buck. We're good at saying, "Not me." We're good at blaming others for our sin, for our missing the mark, for our failing to even get to the target. When in reality, the true culprit in all sin is what? That letter in the middle, I. The great big I. Ego. Me, myself, and I is in the middle of sin. A desire to do it our own way and not God's way. The most sinful song I have ever heard is Frank Sinatra's "I Did It My Way." I love Frankie, but my God, that's an awful song. "I Did It My Way"? No. We're called to do it God's way. And when we don't, we fall short of God's will for us. Well, I don't like that, preacher. Well, neither did Paul. Neither do I. I don't like it that I'm a sinner. I don't like it that I am in the very middle of my own sin. I wish I weren't in the middle of my own sin. But sin dwells within us. It infests every part of our existence. It corrupts even the good things that we do. making it difficult for us to escape its grasp. That's what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 7. I am of the flesh, he wrote, sold into slavery under sin. A captive, in other words, to sin. Verse 15, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very things I hate. That's the struggle. When we're honest with ourselves, we know that we're sinners. We don't understand our own actions or why we do them. For we don't want to do them, but we do them anyway. Have you ever begged and begged and begged God to take away sin in your life? A specific sin, a particular sin, a sin that you know is making you fall short of God's glory for you, a sin that's making you go to the right or the left of the target that God has for you. And then we find ourselves doing it anyway. You prayed on your knees at night by your bed, God, take this from me, take this from me, take this from me. And then the next day you get up and go do it. I have. Have you? Why? It's because we're sinners. It's because we miss the mark of God's will for us. I know that nothing, Paul writes, I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. This is the sin nature in the midst of us, as we are in the midst of it. And it lingers. I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. It sounds like a long drawn out battle within us. Remember back in during the First World War in Europe, they fought in trenches, trench warfare, one side in a trench facing the other side in a trench, and you really couldn't hit them because they were half underground or three quarters underground or all underground. And they would shoot over the edge of the trench at people who would come through no man's land to try to attack them and then shoot them down. And so as a result, trenches and troops didn't move for weeks and weeks and weeks, dug into the ground. That's us, friends. That's what Paul is talking about here, in a sense. We have within ourselves spiritual trench warfare between sin on one side and the presence of God on the other. And because of the nature of indwelling sin, the indwelling presence of God ends up fighting. Not dualistically, but within us, it's a continual battle. A battle, a war that goes on a long time. Indeed, a battle and a war that goes on for our whole lives. But there is a promise of victory. There is a promise of delivery. Wretched man that I am, Paul writes, who will rescue me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We do have rescue, delivery from the body of this death. Through Jesus Christ, we can have the victory that we heard about last week in his victory over the temptations in the wilderness. We can have victory over our own temptations. We can have victory over sin. We have begged. We have all begged God to deliver us from the things that we know or think or have been told we shouldn't be doing. And in my own life, and in the lives of family and church members, I've seen God deliver people from all sorts of things. I've pastored churches where I had large groups of alcoholics. I've had individuals who were caught in all sorts of sin, from infidelity in their marriage to adultery to... I had one fellow who was engaged in the sex trade as a male escort. And I saw in all of these lives God moving in and working, and through no power of my own, but through the power of Jesus Christ in their lives, I have seen them delivered from sin. Delivered from the desire to do these things even. And given the power to overcome them. But then I've seen people praying and praying and praying for deliverance from sins that they've been told were sins. Behaviors that they've been told were sinful. And yet, it never seems as though God takes it away. Delivered from drug abuse and alcoholism, forms of sexual harm, adultery, infidelity in marriage. And yet, some things they've been told they need to give up. They pray about and pray about and pray about, and God never seems to deliver them. I wish I could say the same thing about enchiladas. Oh, God, deliver me from enchiladas. It's okay, Greg. Go ahead and have all as we want. No, God never says that to me. I wish, God, you would. God doesn't say that to me. I know. I've got to give that up. But my friends, we have to be careful about presuming that we know, we understand, we comprehend the full nature of what sin is in someone else's life. We are all called to proclaim Christ and live our own convictions. We are all called to work out our own relationship with God with fear and trembling, with respect and adoration. For sin is very powerful. And what is a sin to you may not be a sin to them. Huh? Okay. I'll give you an example. I have a very close friend of mine who is an alcoholic, who has struggled and fought with alcoholism for years and years and years, on the wagon, off the wagon, on the wagon, off the wagon, on the wagon, off the wagon. AA meetings, God's grace is present, God delivers him, and he slips and falls and stumbles and misses the mark yet again, and then he comes back and he never gives up. He struggles and he fights with alcoholism. For him, drinking any alcohol is a sin. And worse, he's Roman Catholic. So he can't even go to Mass and have the wine. All he can have is the bread, communion in one kind. God bless him. He does receive. God bless him. He is there. God bless him. When he stumbles off, he returns. But for him, any alcohol at all is a sin. Never mind where it says, take a little wine for the stomach's sake in the Bible. He can't accept that for himself. Because for him, it would be a sin. But I know others, people in my own family, for whom at dinner, at a steakhouse, a glass of wine, doesn't affect them. Doesn't cause them to stumble. Doesn't cause them to miss the mark of God's will for them. Doesn't cause them to go to the right or the left of the target. Why? Because they don't have the problem of alcoholism. They can have a glass, as the scripture would say, for the stomach's sake, and be fine. So for one person, it's a sin. But for another, it's not. And that's true, my friends, about many things that communities and societies and cultures have identified as sin at one time or one place or another. And the way to see if it's truly something that God doesn't want you to do is over a long time, pray about it. And if you see God delivering you from all sorts of sins all around you, and you see your life improving, you see yourself growing in grace, you see yourself growing in faith, you see yourself moving more and more and more on towards the life of perfection that God has for you. Still not perfect, of course, but on the way. If you see this, and yet in your life, there's something that you've been told was a sin by others, but you don't feel it inside. The scripture seems to be all over the place or ambiguous or doesn't apply. And you don't find God delivering you from it. Humility calls us to be careful, but it might not be a sin. Might not be a sin for you. Drinking a glass of wine is an example. For some, it's a sin. For others, it's not. Now, going a whole hog or drinking the whole bottle in 3 and 4, no. But that one glass, not a problem. My brothers and sisters, sin dwells within us. Sin infests us. Sin causes us to go astray. Sin causes us to miss the mark. In fact, its very essence is missing the mark, falling short of God's target for us. And anything at all, you may not even have Bible for it, anything at all that causes you to fall short is a sin for you. And if you believe that inside, you feel that inside, nothing that I say or anyone else will say will change that. Only God can change that. And only God can relieve you of it. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by doing the works of the law. Not by keeping some list of rules and regulations, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we can get a little better at hitting that target. We can get closer and closer and closer to it. When I was taking archery for my merit badge as a Boy Scout, I'd miss that target. I'd fall short. Or I'd shoot over it, or I'd shoot to the left or to the right. I was told, stay away from Greg when he's on the archery range. You're likely to get a hole stuck in you. But with training, with practice, and with time, I finally managed to go from hamartia to hitting the target. And each and every one of us, by God's grace, when we exercise faith and respond to His love and use the means of grace, each and every one of us can move from hamartia, from falling short, from missing the mark of God's will for us, to over time reaching that target. We may only be on the outside of it, but reaching that target. My dad was a marksman, not with bows and arrows, but with guns. And I was amazed at how he could shoot from the hip and hit the target. And with a scope, he could put bullets through that target through the same hole. He was that good. And I asked him, how did that happen? And he said, a lot of practice. A lot of practice. Well, how about luck? Nope. Luck really doesn't enter into it. It's practice, it's skill, and it's not giving up. My friends, Jesus is not giving up on any of us. Jesus' love and grace does not give up on any of us. No matter how far we fall short of the target, no matter how far to the right or how far to the left our arrows may go, it does not matter. God does not give up on us. We mustn't give up on God. We must exercise faith and keep going. We must exercise faith and keep partaking of the means of grace and keep living the life that God has for us to live and keep trying to respond to His love. And even then, when we see ourselves falling short of the target of God's glory for us, of God's will for us, we keep trying and knowing that when we fall short, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We may fall short of God's grace, and we will till the day we die. We may fall short of God's grace and God's love for us. Every single one of us, without question, will fall short. But because Jesus loves us, because God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to be with us, to live amongst us, to preach to us, to heal us, and then to stretch out His arms on the hardwood of the cross and die for us, because of Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Him. Trust in God's grace. Trust in God's forgiveness. Trust in the love of Jesus Christ. Share that love with others. Keep shooting for the target. And know that by God's grace, if not before, then in glory everlasting, you'll hit it. In the middle. In your prayer.